Thank you, Owen. My name's Des, and Lynn and I are privileged to have been at Christ Church Central here now for 4 years. Christmas Day, as we've been hearing, is just 7 sleeps away. For many, a special day. But for many, not particularly. I remember for me once, December the 25th in Egypt was just a day of visiting offices. Of course, Egypt is a majority Muslim country, so Christmas doesn't mean much to them. And for the minority Christian population, they celebrate Christmas on the 6th of January. And I also remember my first Christmas overseas. It was in Western India, in Gujarat. And after we had a Christmas meal, our team leader said, "Let's go out and share the good news with people." So we went out and we were sharing the Christmas story with people in really hot sunshine, in desert-like, semi-desert-like conditions. And a camel even walked past. And I thought, might be closer to the original Christmas. But for me, in a sense, every day is Christmas. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. And almost every day, directly or indirectly, I think, Jesus came. Christmas. And he gave his life for me and you. Easter. But in the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 3, how does that, at the beginning of the Old Testament, relate to the Christmas story, which we read about at the beginning of the New Testament? And what's the meaning of our title, The Crusher? Sounds like a boxing champion. Or maybe a big wheels competitor, you know, or those vehicles with massive wheels try to crush their competitors. The Christmas story is no accident. It's not random. I inherited a book from my dad, Panorama of Bible History. Now you probably can't see very much from where you're sitting, but you might just be able to see a red line that goes all the way through the Bible story. It finishes here with the new heaven and new earth. And as we trace it back through the coming of Jesus, all the way back, it begins at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It shows the plan of God's redemption, which flows all the way through the Bible story. It shows the story of the Messiah, the anointed one, God's chosen rescuer. Now, around Christmas, we usually think about and sing carols about events around Nazareth in northern Israel and Bethlehem, a few miles south of Jerusalem. The Christmas story. Our study this morning is a bit like a prequel. We're reminding ourselves why the Christmas event was even necessary. What were the earlier events that set the story in motion? Actually, it's the launch of the greatest rescue plan ever seen. So let's look at the context. Our passage, Genesis 3, 14 to 21, records God's response to the rebellion of Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the first two chapters in the Bible, we read that God made an ideal world. Creation was very good. God placed the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, in a paradise in the Garden of Eden. But in Genesis 3, this ideal world was spoiled. Satan, God's enemy, deceived Eve, and Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command to them. And this Eden disobedience was a catastrophe. And curses came. In Genesis 3, verses 16 to 19, we read about the curses communicated to Eve and Adam. Painful procreation. Women would suffer pain in childbirth. Strained relationships. There would be great tension in relationships between men and women. As it says, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And we see this tension very much in our world today. Laborious survival until death, because the ground was cursed. And life for man, for mankind, has so often been a huge struggle just to survive. And yet, in Genesis 3, 20 to 21, we do see a glimmer of hope. I like that word. Not just because I served on the ship Logos Hope, or because OM's new ship is called Doulos Hope, but there's also Christmas hope, as we see inside our wreath on the window. And in Genesis 3, 20 to 21, there's a glimmer of hope. There would be generations to come, because Eve was the mother of all living. And we also see that God cares and he covers. He provided garments of skins for Adam and Eve. So even though the relationship between God and man is damaged, the relationship is broken, God is still at work for good. Our key verse, Genesis 3:15, gives the first hint of the rescue plan. So let's look carefully at each phrase. Firstly, Satan is at war with mankind. I will put enmity between you, God says to Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Satan hates God. And he wants to destroy the human beings which are made in God's image. And temporarily, he has a lot of power. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that he's called the God of this world. Ephesians 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. Satan has power. In Revelation 12, verse 3, he's called the dragon. In Revelation 12, verse 9, he's called the deceiver. And Satan in the world today is blinding and binding people across the world. In John 8, Jesus calls him a murderer and a liar. And in Ephesians 6, as we're encouraged to take on the spiritual armor, part of the armor protects us against the fiery darts, the flaming arrows of the evil one, Satan. 1 Peter 5 says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And yet in 2 Corinthians 11, he can appear as an angel of light. He can look so good. His true colors can perhaps be seen in situations like ones we were praying for in Ukraine and places like Ethiopia and Yemen, Nigeria, and torture, kidnapping, abuse, injustice around the world. These are outcomes from Satan. And we can see it, perhaps, in many more subtle forms of evil that proliferate our societies. Now, some of Satan's offspring, in this verse it talks about there will be enmity between your offspring and her offspring. Some of Satan's offspring are referred to in John 8 by Jesus. Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leaders, and he says, "You are of your father, the devil." And Satan's offspring, really those who continue to be misled by him, are at enmity with the women's offspring. We could say that part of mankind being restored to wholeness with God. And Satan's offspring are especially at enmity with the special representative of the human race alluded to in the next phrase in Genesis 3:15. Satan will be crushed by mankind's champion. He will bruise your head. Or, as it says in the NIV, he will crush your head. It's talking of one individual who will defeat this rebel, this imposter, Satan. And not only defeat him, but crush him, destroy him. Who is this rescuer? Referred to as a single person. Well, as we go on from Genesis 3 through the book of Genesis and on through the Old Testament, we see that God chooses a man, Abraham, from whom developed a family, the Hebrews, which in Egypt became a nation, which was freed from slavery and was given the law through Moses and brought to live in the land God had promised to Abraham. But the promise alluded to in Genesis 3:15 is expanded in covenants, formal promises made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was given the name Israel, Moses, David. And after mankind and the nation of Israel had waited for the promised rescuer for a few thousand years, we read in Genesis 4, verse 4 in the New Testament, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, to redeem. It's not just an accident. God has a plan. He came to redeem In Matthew 1:23, Joseph is told to call the baby Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. He is a savior, a rescuer. And this rescuer is none other than God, the eternal Son, entering the human race as a baby to become a true representative of mankind through the miracle of the virgin birth. And that's the heart of the Christmas story. God the Son became man, our representative, to provide the way of salvation for us from sin and Satan. And I love the quote from Charles Wesley in his hymn, Let Earth and Heaven Combine. He says, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. This is the Christmas story. Now, Satan tried to destroy the rescuer as Herod the king killed the babies in Bethlehem, trying to wipe out any rival. 30 years later, Satan tried to derail him at the beginning of his adult ministry through temptations. 3 years after that, Satan conspired against him as he entered Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And Satan probably thought he had overcome his enemy when he saw him nailed to a cross. But he did not know that through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rescuer was providing the lasting way for mankind to be freed from Satan's lies and bondage and destruction, and was providing the way back to God eternally, cleansed and made new, back to a new paradise. And in the process, Satan was being defeated, disarmed, judged, condemned, and finally in Revelation 20, destroyed, crushed. But in our last phrase in Genesis 3:15, it tells us that Satan is capable of limited damage. And you shall bruise his heel. Satan would bruise the heel of the rescuer. So victory was not without a cost. Satan did inflict injury on Jesus, but it was minor compared with the blow Jesus inflicted on Satan, striking his head. Jesus' injury, his death, was temporary. Although maybe the scars remain as a reminder to us of what he lovingly did for us. But Satan's injury is fatal, permanent, conclusive, as we see in Revelation, the final book of the Bible. Regarding all the evil in the world, righteous judgment will come. Rebellious mankind, too, will be rightfully judged. So, in a sense, Satan can take us down with him. But there is a possibility of rescue, forgiveness, new life for all who turn to the rescuer to be rescued. So what does this mean for us? At Christmas, we celebrate that the promised seed, the offspring of the woman, the rescuer, he's arrived. And the amazing thing is who the seed, who the rescuer is. God the Son himself, joining the human race to rescue us from Satan's grip and to destroy him. Each member of mankind, along with Adam, including you and me, is part of the rebellion and facing our own judgment and crushing, unless and until we turn from going our own way and we put our trust in the rescuer God has sent. Then we'll be forgiven, be reinstated, join his side, be transformed, be prepared for eternity in a new paradise. What a rescue! What a rescuer! But the big question for us is, whose side are you on? You're either still like the religious Jewish leaders, child of Satan, or you've taken that step of faith to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Make sure you're on the right side. Make sure even today. And John 1:12 says, to all who received him, he gave authority to become children of God. I'm glad I received him. And if you have received him, I would say you can celebrate a truly happy Christmas and a happy forever. May you know this blessing from God. Amen. And we're now going to sing that wonderful hymn, How Great the Father's Love for Us.